Because if you disagree with a king, this is considered like rebelling and going against the king. Nobody, but nobody ever disagrees with a king. And Rabbi Bernstein, what about his wife? Okay, we're not going into that, and I don't know his business. She probably also could never disagree with a king. Yes, king. Yes, king. Yes, king. Everybody has to say yes, king. You never heard anybody say no, only yes, because you must agree with a king. And all of a sudden, what did Rabbi David say? No, king. You're wrong. The wall is straight. It's not crooked. Right away. Now, this is, of course, a trap that Tsar Nikolai has set for Reb David, and he caught him in his trap, and Reb David fell in. Now the king now can take some kind of revenge, and now the king can get upset and do something to Reb David, which is what he wanted to do all along. He says, you are disagreeing with me when I say the wall is crooked? You can see the wall is crooked. And you say it's straight? And he says, into jail with him for rebelling and disagreeing with me. And they took Reb David right away. They grabbed him and they put him in a black wagon. We all know what the black wagon means, right? Like when the Alter Rebbe was put in the black wagon, it's for the worst criminals, Chas V'Shalom. The worst criminals who disagree, go against the king, they put Reb David in a black wagon, and they're taking him to the big prison in Dvinsk. For disagreeing with the king. And Kinelach, as the black wagon is going through the streets, Yidden saw inside of the black wagon, hey, who's in the black wagon going to the prison? It's a beard. It's a yarmulke. Who is that? Hoi, it's Reb David, the son of Reb Leib Batlin. They're taking him to jail in the black wagon. Oi, gewalt. And the Yidden run into the Yiddish neighborhood. And they start telling Yidden, Reb David is being taken to jail in the black wagon. And they run to Reb David's house and tell his family. And they then run to Reb Leib Batlin's house and they tell Reb David's mother, your son is being taken to the jail in the black wagon. And he's being taken to prison as some kind of a rebelling person against the king. Oi, gewalt. Just today he was by a big party in the army base, and the king himself was there. Something has gone wrong. And Kinelach, the Yidden of the town, they ran to Reb David's parents' house. Well, as we know, the mommy was home, but where was the Tati? Reb David's Tati. Who was Reb David's Tati? Anybody remember?
Shul.
Okay, he was by Shul. What was his name?
Reb Leib Batlin.
Reb Leib Batlin was in Shul learning. The mommy was at home. And people came running in. And they said, Mrs. Reb Leib Batlin, or whatever her name was, your son, Reb David, did you hear what happened? She said, no. What's wrong? Why is everybody running into my house all excited? You look like something not good happened. What's everybody doing here? Why are you so upset? What happened? What's wrong? What happened to my son? They took him to the prison in the black wagon. Oh, I don't understand. Today was the big party. The king himself came. And it was the beginning of the new army base that my son built. Well, why is he going the black wagon to the jail? Well, people are talking, you know, they must have found out that the king was upset that a Jew had designed the army base and he made a trap, in order to get your son punished in some way that he shouldn't have the honor of having designed the army base. and the black wagon is because he did something against the king. He must have said something the king didn't like. And now he's going to the big prison, the big jail. Hi, I'm going to go run and tell my husband. Now, Kinalach, shh. Mrs. Reb Leib Batlin ran to the shul, and her husband, Reb Leib Batlin, was learning, and he was looking into the Gemara, sitting on his bench, and he was learning with a lot of kavana. He didn't even see his wife coming in. And she comes over to him, and she says, Reb Leib, it's an emergency. Our son, he's been taken to the jail in the big black wagon. Shh. And of course, there's people looking in the door, peeking to see what he's going to do. What's Reb Leib going to do to save his son? If there's anything to do. And this is what Reb Leib did. Now listen very closely. Reb Leib Batlin looked up from his Gemara and he looked at his wife, and then he had a faraway look in his eye, not looking out the window at something, but like he's thinking very deeply about something. And he tells his wife, "Don't worry, Hashem will help, and very soon our son David will be released from jail." And he went on learning in the Gemara. The whole thing took about 15 seconds. Reb Leib Batlin looked up from his Gemara for about 15 seconds and he went on learning. And everybody is looking in there, who's peeking through the door, thinks to himself, that's all he does? To save his son? Akinelach, just to explain a little bit, because we should try to bring out from the stories all kinds of important things. Pretty soon is going to be Lag BaOmer. How many boys know that pretty soon it's going to be Lag BaOmer? Whose yahrzeit is on Lag BaOmer? Does anybody know which great Halakha tzaddik's yahrzeit is on Lag BaOmer?
Rabbi Akiva.
Well, not exactly.
Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai.
Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that's right. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, was on such a high level that he went into a cave for 13 years with his son Elazar, and Hashem took care of his food, and Hashem took care of his water, and all they did was learn Torah for 13 years. And you know, other people heard about this and they said, we also want to go to a cave and learn. And Hashem should also take care of what we need, so we don't have to work, all we have to do is learn, and we'll go into a cave. So they packed up their stuff, they said goodbye to their wife and kitties, and they went to a cave and they started to learn. Well, a few hours went by, they got hungry. And they look around for food. Where is the tree that's going to grow in the cave to give me food? I don't see any tree. Well, let's see. Maybe another miracle will happen and I'll get food. No food. I'm also thirsty. Let's see. Where is the spring of water that's going to come to give me a drink? No spring of water. Well, they're hungry and they're thirsty. They can't go on learning. All of a sudden, they pack up their stuff in the cave and they go home. They walk into the house. Their wife says, hey, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be away for a few years learning Torah in a cave. Yeah, I am, but I'm hungry. What's for supper? What's for supper? Aren't you have to have food in the cave? Yeah, there wasn't anything to eat in the cave. No trees growing and no springs. I came back. I got to eat something. I'm hungry. I'm home. They pack up. They stay home. How come by them wasn't all of these miracles? Because they were not on the level of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Not everybody is on such a high level. It's called Toirasoi Umnasoi. His whole life was just Torah. And Hashem took care of him in a special way. But that's not the way for everybody. Now, Reb David Kinelach was on a very high level. And what he did was look up from his Gemara for 15 seconds, tell his wife everything's going to be okay, and look back. I'm not saying that everybody can do that. Or if there's... What did I say? I'm sorry. Reb Leib, all he did is look up for 15 seconds and look back. And I'm not saying everybody could do just that. If their son was in a big emergency, maybe they have to do something else. It doesn't mean it's the same for everybody. But in this story about Reb Leib Batlin, that's what he did. And Kinelach, Reb Leib Batlin's wife, who is also a very special tzedekus lady, when she heard her husband say that, she got very calm. She knew that Hashem would help. She trusted her husband's decision and his words. And she walked out of the shul back to the house. And people there said, "Oh, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?" She said, "What do you mean, what am I going to do? My husband, Reb Leib, said that Hashem is going to help. Everything will be okay. And very soon, our son will be released from jail. You know, aren't you going to do something else? What do you mean? I'll go home and I'll say some tillim. I'll give some stuck in the pushke. I'll dive into Hashem that everything should be okay." And Kinelach, Reb Leib Batlin's wife, went home. And the other people went home, and hopefully they also said some tillim, gave some stucke. And Reb Leib was put into the big prison in Dvinsk. Now let's go now to the Tsar. Huh? I didn't say Reb David? And Reb David, I'm sorry. See, all of this talking is mishing my brains up like your mashed potatoes. My whole head's getting all mashed up with all kinds of different things because of this noise. Reb David was put into the big prison in Dvinsk. Let us go now to the Tsar, the king who's leaving now the army base. The party finished. The king got done eating all of his nash and drinking his delicious wine or whatever they gave him. And the marching band marched away and played their last song. And the soldiers marched to their barracks where they sleep, where they go. And the whole party finished. And now the king, the Tsar, goes into his royal wagon on his red carpet. And the trumpets blow that the Tsar is going to leave. Beep, 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 beep. And the officers go into their wagons. And the whole royal entourage now is leaving the army base, and they're going on the rest of the trip because the Tsar was stopping in the middle of some long trip that he's going. And all of his wagons and all of his men and all of his guards and soldiers, they're going now on the road. Shh. And they're traveling, well, for maybe a half an hour or an hour. Shh. When all of a sudden, a very strange thing happened that surprised all of the officers and soldiers that were going with the Tsar. All of a sudden, in the Tsar's wagon, he says to his big officer, "Stop the wagon! Stop the wagon!" All of a sudden, in the middle of the road, the Tsar is saying, "Stop the wagon! Stop the wagon now! Stop emergency!" And all of a sudden that officer gives the sign, whatever it is, "Emergency stop!" And the trumpet blowers all of a sudden make an emergency stop trumpet blow. Beep, 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 beep. And all the wagons stop. There's some kind of an emergency with the Tsar. All of the officers jump out of their wagons and go at attention outside of the wagon of the Tsar. He wants something. What is it? Does he feel okay? All of a sudden he got sick? Or there's something, an emergency, important thing he's got to do in the middle of the road? And the Tsar says, "Call me the fastest horse and the fastest rider, and I'm making a messenger. And call me a scribe who writes a letter. I'm sending an emergency letter. And it has to be delivered, special delivery on the fastest horse." Ooh! What's going on? This is a real emergency. Must be so important. Maybe the king is riding another king or something. Who knows what it is? And all the officers are listening because they want to find out what in the world is going on with the czar, and the emergency stopped. And it's so quiet, you could hear a pin drop. Which is the way the lunchroom should be during the story time. But nobody should have a pin. So we can't sit quiet enough for a pin to drop. Somebody's going to bring a pin, then we're in real trouble. It should be quiet anyway. Shh. No pins. And all of a sudden the czar says to the scribe who is ready to write with his pen on the paper, making a royal letter for the king. And the king says, this is the letter you should write. Write a letter to the chief of the prison in Dvinsk. I, the king, Tsar Nikolai, immediately call for the release of the Jew from jail. And all of the officers are thinking, what? The king made an emergency stop, and he's writing an emergency royal letter, and he's going to send it special delivery with the fastest horse to let a Jew out of jail? Very strange. What's the big emergency? And the officers are talking. Now, who wants to find out what they're talking with? Okay, who's ready for a story inside of a story? This is very interesting, so you have to understand what's going on. The officers are whispering. This happened one time a few years ago, and all the officers remember it. It was a few years before, and the king was also at an army base, a different army base, also starting a new army base. Now, there was a big parade for the king, and all the soldiers in that time at that army base were marching. Now, how do soldiers march? They have to go perfectly in line. If the soldiers lift up their right foot, every soldier lifts up his right foot. If they put their right foot down, everybody puts it down at the same time. They pick up their left foot, it's exactly perfect. Just like little machines, like little robots, just marching perfectly. That's how the soldiers march. And the king was sitting on his little portable throne, watching the parade, when all of a sudden, in one line of soldiers, one of the soldiers, instead of lifting up his right foot, exactly, I don't know if he lifted up his left foot, he lifted up his right foot, but he was a little bit out of step. A little bit ahead, a little bit behind. He didn't lift up his foot perfectly. He lifted it up not perfect. And the king got mad. This soldier is not marching perfectly in line. And then the king watched him lift up his left foot, also not perfect. And his shoes were not exactly perfectly polished. Well, the king got irritated. He got upset. He didn't like that line of soldiers. And the king said, who is the general in charge of these soldiers? It wasn't enough for the king to get mad just at the soldier. He wants to get mad at the general in charge of the soldier. He says, who is the general in charge of these soldiers in this line, especially that soldier who's out of line? And of course, right away, they brought the general in front of the king. He says, one of your soldiers was not marching perfectly. It's your fault, and I order you to go into jail. For such a little clinikite, a little thing, the king got angry and threw a general into jail. Now, the officers are still, because the story is not over yet. What happened with this general? Now listen to this. This is a big general. 2 years went by. And the king, on another trip, I mean, kings are always taking trips, doing all kinds of stuff. This king, the king Tsar Nikolai, was inspecting a big prison. and he was going around inspecting the different cells and listening to the crimes of the inmates in the cells, what they did. And they would sometimes ask the king for the punishments, and the king would right away say different punishments. Chop off their head, leave them in jail, send them to the North Pole, whatever the king decided to do. And all of a sudden, in one of the jail cells, he sees the general. You remember the general he threw into jail? He threw the general into jail because his soldier was out of step. This general was in jail for 2 years. And the king had forgotten all about him. He said, "What are you doing here in this jail?" And the general said, "King, don't you..." Well, he didn't say, "Don't you remember?" because that would be the end of him. He says, "King, you threw me in jail 2 years ago because one of my officers..." Oh, I'm sorry. He said, "King, you threw me in jail 2 years ago because one of my soldiers was a little bit out of step when we were making the parade for you by the army base. So you got upset at me and threw me in jail, and I've been in jail for 2 years." And the king said, "Release him from jail." And they released the general from jail. The king had not thought about him for 2 years. He completely forgot about him and didn't think once about him. And this is a big general. And now, this Jew was put into jail just a few hours ago, and the king is making an emergency stop in the middle of the road with all of his wagons and all of his officers, and he's writing an emergency royal letter to send to release the Jew from jail. Very strange. And that's what all the officers are talking about. What in the world is going on? And the king says, "Finish the letter, put it in the envelope, put the royal stamp, the royal wax, the royal seal, and go as fast as you can immediately to the prison in Vinsk and let the Jew out of jail." The trumpets blew. What's going on? Everyone was so curious. But of course, no officer or no soldier will think to go ask the king, because who is he to go ask the king? So all they had to do was get back on their horses, back in their wagons, and continue on the trip when the trumpets blew to go on a trip. Well, the only one that was having a chance, there was one person to have a chance to ask the king, and that way we get to find out, because we want to hear it also. I mean, we're listening to the story. Don't we want to find out what's going on with the king? Well, how are we going to find out? If the king won't tell a big general or a big officer or a soldier, so how will we find out? Well, this is how we're going to find out. Once they started going, the king's personal secretary, who basically was a schlepper who the king told what to do, and he's got to do everything the king says, but he got to sit next to the king all the time and do what the king wants. Well, he asked the king, because he was able to do such a thing, he says, "King, I know it's your business, and nobody has any right to know what the king does if the king doesn't want. However, if the king wishes to tell me, I am very curious. Why in the world does the great Tsar Nikolai care to make an emergency stop to let a Jew out of jail, especially when the king did not let the general out of jail for 2 years? And not only I am wondering this, but everybody is wondering this. So if the king so chooses to share with us what's going on, we would be most privileged to know. And of course, if not, so then there's nothing to talk about." The king, boys, is going to tell a story. If Tsar Nikolai decides to tell a story, we better listen to it. This is a story inside of a story told by the King Tsar Nikolai himself. Shh. Okay. The king now is telling the big officer his personal secretary, as we said, who is a schlepper who has to say, yes, king, about 100 times a day. Shh. He says, I'll tell you why I let the Jew out of jail with an emergency stop. Shh. And the reason I'm telling you is not necessarily because you have the right to know, but I'm wondering myself, kind of, why I let him out of jail. Maybe if I tell you about it, I'll understand it. Well, this is very strange. Well, let's listen to the king. He says, I'll tell you something. A few years ago, when I threw that general into jail, because his soldier was not exactly perfectly in line in the parade, the truth is, I never thought about him, even for 1 second. I did not remember him. He did not enter my mind, even for 1 second, not one thought, until 2 years later, I saw him in the jail, and then I remembered him. And I released him from jail. Maybe if I would have thought about him earlier, I would have thought to myself, look, he's sitting in jail because a soldier was not perfectly in line. I'll let him out. But I forgot about him. But, when I put this Jew in jail, and they took him away with a black wagon, and we started to go on our trip away from the army base, strange things started to take place, which I am still trying to understand, and I'll tell you what they are. We got in the wagon. Well, what would I like to do? It was a very big party. And I drank some wine and some mashke and had a lot to eat. I wanted to rest. I wanted to relax. So as you see, I entered our wagon and I started to close my eyes and started to get a little bit of rest. But as soon as I closed my eyes, I see the face of the Jew in my mind. I said, why am I thinking about this Jew? He's thrown into jail. I don't want to think about him anymore. And I close my eyes again, and I keep thinking about him. I keep thinking to myself, I threw this man in jail because I said the wall is crooked. Wasn't this ridiculous? I shouldn't have said it. And the Jew made a beautiful building. And he was right. It wasn't crooked. I said, why should I think about this Jew? And why should I care if it was crooked or not? I wanted him in jail. Well, I couldn't rest. I kept thinking about him. So I thought to myself, I must not be so tired. So let me read something. Well, I picked up one of my books and I started to read. And as I'm reading, I think to myself, what am I reading? I'm not thinking about what I'm reading. I keep thinking about this Jew and then I threw into jail. I can't get him out of my mind. Well, the book must be boring. I'll do something very important, like I'll figure out how much money I have and how much money I'm going to spend on this trip. So I took out my money book and I start to count different things in money. And I also lost count because I keep thinking about this Jew the whole time. I can't get him out of my mind. No matter what I'm doing, I keep thinking about him. We are getting close to the story inside of the story. We are now riding with the Tsar Nikolai and his chief main secretary, his personal secretary. And we're trying to find out, why did the Tsar make an emergency stop to let Reb David out of jail if he kept that general for 2 years without thinking about him? And this was the answer. Shh. That no matter what the king tried to do, if he tried to rest, the face of Reb David was right there. If he closed his eyes, he saw Reb David. If he tried to read a book, all he could think about was Reb David. If he tried to do some important work, all he could think about was Reb David. He could not concentrate. He could not rest. He could not have his mind on anything. And if he tried to push out the thought of Reb David, the thought came back. And no matter what he did, right there he's thinking about Reb David. He can't concentrate on anything. It's driving him nuts! Kind of like, if you remember, when that little mosquito went into Titus, the Russia, and the little mosquito went into his brain, and it was making a mosquito noise. And it never stopped. Day and night, the mosquito noise was driving him nuts. And he couldn't rest and he couldn't think.